As a scripture lesson today, I've chosen to read the 23rd Psalm. Psalm number 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's the 23rd Psalm. In message number 7 in this series in the Psalms, we talked about the divine name and titles in the Psalms. And we found that while Elohim, the general word for God, is found there, and many other titles, that the one that we are especially interested in is the personal name of God, Yahweh, or Jehovah. And I have put up here, it's spelled YHWH, and generally pronounced Yahweh, but our translator forefathers chose to put points and vowels in there, and they called it Jehovah. And most people are familiar with the word Jehovah more so than the word Yahweh, but you will find us using both. But we also found in the Psalms that there are at least two places that you have the word Yahweh combined with another word to form what we call the Jehovah titles. And this one is Yahweh Roy or Jehovah Roy, and the word Roy is shepherd. So the Lord is my shepherd is Yahweh Roy, and that is used here in the 23rd Psalm. There are a good many others that are wonderful, but this is the one we want to notice today. We know that Yahweh is the name of the one true and living God, and it is not used of anyone else or anything else, because it is his personal name. Though the word Elohim is a general word for anything that is worshipped, Yahweh is the personal name of the one true and living God. And of course, Deuteronomy 6:4 is the outstanding text on this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, or as it really properly said, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We have been in Jewish services, and to me it's a thrill to hear them read this and say it, the cantor sing it, and the rabbi say it, and the congregation say it, and the congregation sing it, and the choir say it and sing it over and over, because it is so important. Shema Yisrael. And they don't say Yahweh. They're afraid to use his name, so they substitute Adonai for it. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. But it is the key text in the Bible on the oneness of God. So what we're seeing here is then that Yahweh is being called a shepherd. This is a very familiar metaphor, because the Middle East is very full of flocks and herds. And David himself was a keeper of the sheep. And so he would be familiar with this as well. I have had experience with sheep. When I married Orpha, we moved to Minnesota, and her mother had a small flock of sheep. She had about a dozen. And I happened to be there during lambing time, too, and it was very wonderful. But Minnesota had very bad weather, and they had a bank barn. And the upstairs was a hay mow where they kept the fodder and the feed. And downstairs they had chickens, cows, and sheep. And they did not have water in the barn, so we had to let the animals out and take them out to a trough. and especially in the cold, deep of winter. We had then after that, we had to dump the trough because it would soon become ice. But I learned then that you do not boss sheep. You lead sheep, and you call them, and they come. And if they don't know you, they won't come. So calling them out of the barn, calling them back in the barn, and so forth, this was something that you learned to do as well as they. And it was really wonderful to see them. In fact, another thing that was very familiar to me, I have family that lives at Bishop, California. This is in the high desert. And there are flocks of sheep by the tens and 20,000s. They just cover the hills. But they hire Basque sheep herders from the Basque area in Spain and Portugal to come over, and they live in kind of covered wagons with their dogs, and they lead the sheep from the valleys up, and they follow the weather. And as the mountains open, the snow leaves, and they lead them on up into the pastures high up in the mountains. And then when fall comes, they lead them back down the other way to the valleys. And it's wonderful to see them and realize what a wonderful thing it is. There are many and many stories told about the following instinct of sheep, whereas actually known where the leader of the sheep would fall over a cliff and all the rest of the flock would follow it to their death, because it's instinct and their way to follow. And so there are many stories told about situations of that type, but these are just a couple of the experiences I have personally had with sheep. So to me, to call the family of God a flock and to call us sheep is not to me to emphasize the dumbness of sheep, but is to emphasize the trust and their habit of following, which I think is very wonderful. We all know that Jesus is portrayed as the good, the great, and the chief shepherd in the New Testament or the Greek scriptures, but here it is God. I remind you again, whenever you find the word Lord, all capital letters, in the Hebrew scriptures, it is always Yahweh. The translators at least did leave us that record, that whenever the word Lord is all caps, it is Yahweh. So Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. In fact, as we've noted here, that there are really probably three different things in this of Yahweh. He's shepherd, guide, and host. And begins, of course, by saying that he is our shepherd, we should not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. Restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That is going more into the guide. But the thing here is that the shepherd is responsible for the sheep. And he cares for them and feeds them. David in the 37th Psalm, which we talked about as being the great problem of evil, he said he was once young, now old. But he had never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That is the 37th Psalm there at the 25th verse. So he is showing that the God is the great provider, and he leads into green pastures. All of us have heard in the Wild West of the fights between the sheep herders and the cattlemen, because the sheep will nibble the grass clear to the soil and where the cattle can't. So they used to have all these fights. But anyway, here he has lush green pastures he's leading them into. And also, one of the things brought out in the scripture, that some sheep will stray. All of us remember the story of the 99, about the shepherd lost one of his sheep, and he left the 99 to go and find that one sheep. And when he found it, he put it on his shoulders and returned with joy, because it was lost and was now found. In fact, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1, there in the second chapter and 25th verse, talks about sheep straying. This is 2:25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So here you have this thought of sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Jesus, of course, is the shepherd. I'm a shepherd. Wally is a shepherd. Anybody who leads the flock is considered a shepherd, and that's what the word pastor means, is shepherd. So here you see then that the Yahweh is the shepherd in this instance. One of the things that has really impressed me back through the years is to see aerial pictures of the wilderness through which God led Israel from Egypt. You wonder how they ever made it. I mean, it's most arid, rugged. I mean, I'm used to California deserts and all, but I mean, when you talk about the wilderness of Sinai, through which they spent 40 years, you wonder how they ever stayed alive. Of course, we know that God provided water, he provided manna, and he provided quails. They got hungry for the leeks and melons and onions of Egypt and wanted to go back, but God gave them everything that was needed. In fact, the manna could be baked, boiled, fried, and eaten raw. And it was the bread of heaven that he fed them. So we know that that Yahweh, as shepherd, did lead his sheep by the pillar of smoke by day and the pillar of fire by night, and they moved when he told them to move. So he led them in safe paths, in right ways, and taught them. In fact, it was 40 years of training for the people, because we all know that those who were of fighting age died in the wilderness. And out of 603,550 men, only two, Caleb and Joshua, of that age entered into the promised land. The rest came under his tutelage, his ten commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his laws. And they learned well, but they were still human just as we, and we know that they murmured, and they sinned. And even when they got in the land, in the promised land, they also failed him. But nevertheless, Yahweh is also guide. He led in paths of righteousness. That is the thing. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is showing his guidance. The 34th of the book of Exodus had an interesting text on that respect. The 34th chapter, and there at the 6th verse, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. It's talking about descending. This was the second time that the tables of stone were given to Moses, and he proclaimed the name of Yahweh, and Yahweh passed by before him and said, Yahweh God, merciful and gracious. He is the one that kept mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And it would not, by no means, clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children into the third and fourth generations. But he is the guide. And we have the valley of the shadow of death. This is, by the way, this 23rd Psalm is a favorite reading at funerals, and people kind of equate with this idea of the valley of the shadow of death. And it is fearful. None of us welcome it, except in very ends. I had a beloved saint the other day whose wife is terminally ill, said, I just wish we could both go to sleep. It was a very traumatic time for him. But at the same time, we are going through it. And that is one of the things that that we have the help of God. And I can say this from experience in the loss of my wife, that I've told people before about this. I've had people say, Terry, you seem unflappable. I said, well, I'm not unflappable. I said, losing a mate is a terrible thing. But I said, I have the hope in the resurrection, and I have the blessing and the help of God and his people. And so that these are helps, things to help us through the valley of the shadows, because we have to go through it. And I do feel that we should let people know when they come into the family of God that we are not exempt from trials, we're not exempt from trouble, we're not exempt from sickness or death or disease. All these things can happen to us as well as to anyone else. And but the thing of it is that we know that God is with us. And in fact, I tell people all the time when someone dies and you try to go and convey words of comfort to them, you just have to admit, I don't have any words that I can tell you that would comfort you, but we have the Word of God that gives us hope, understanding, and comfort. I would think about Moses. There's a text in Deuteronomy 8 that might have a little reference to this about going through the wilderness and how God was a help. Thou shalt remember. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh doth man live. This is the thing he wanted us to remember, them to remember what God did for them in the 40 years in the wilderness, and how he proved them to see what was in their heart. But God is the guide, an unfailing guide. God is also, or Yahweh is also, a host. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. We think about, in fact, when you read the background of this psalm, it is the idea of the commentators that David was on the run from Absalom, his son. You remember when he proclaimed himself king and David was in danger of his life. And so he fled and he made his home with an elderly man named Barzillai. And Barzillai, he was sharing Barzillai's table and the provision that Barzillai gave him. This is recorded in 2 Samuel 17, where this particular incident occurs, and there at the 27th through 29th verse. Came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai the son of Nahash, of Reba of the children of Ammon, and Maker the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gilead of Rogelim, brought beds and basins, and earthen vessels, and wheat, and barley, and flour, and parched corn, and beans, and lentils, and parched pulse, and honey, and butter, and sheep, and cheese of kine, for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So here, David was one who could well say, Yahweh is host. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He was on the run. He was in danger of his life. And here he had this saint, Barzillai, who did this wonderful thing for him. On one occasion, if I recall right, David even ate the showbread from the tabernacle. This would than normally something that God would have said, you'll die if you do such a thing. But he was about to die and needed food. So David was here testifying in this 23rd Psalm, Yahweh is my shepherd, Yahweh is my guide, and he is my host. He's prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies and provided for me in a wonderful way through this wonderful saint. He said here in the latter verse of this particular psalm, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you talk about provision, I often think about my mother, who made it as a single mom with six kids. I know she must have worried, but I never knew it. There was always something put on the table. We didn't always have it, didn't have luxuries, but we had things that we needed for our bodies. And I've bored many of you through the years when we finally lost our place and had nowhere to live. We lived in old buses and all kinds of stuff until we got the idea of building a house out of mud. And so my brother was 17 and I was 12, and we built an adobe house, still standing. And it's just, as I said, I know my mother had to have worried, but I never knew it. And so I guess I know, in fact, that she trusted in God, and we all worked. And God provided in this wonderful way. Goodness and mercy follows us. It's really interesting that the Hebrew word for follow there is the word pursue. That's interesting, because we think of some pursuit is something that really after you. And so he's saying here, this is not just a chance that somehow or other goodness and mercy just happens to follow us as by chance, but this is actually a pursuit. God, Yahweh God, is causing goodness and mercy to pursue us. One of the things that I have noticed in both the Hebrew and the Greek scriptures is that house can mean a literal building or it can mean a family. One of the places that this came out very plainly was in 2 Samuel 7 when Nathan came to David. He said, you want to build God a house, a building, but he's going to build you a house family. It's going to be the kingly line, and the throne of the kingdom will never depart from your family. So to me, when I read in John 14, in my Father's house are many abiding places, I'm not seeing a building, I'm seeing a family. So Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and that's what he's doing today, is introducing children into the Father's family. So David could confidently say that Yahweh was his shepherd and guide and host. So we see that the Psalms are full of the major themes of the Bible, like the oneness of God, nature of man, resurrection, the kingdom, and many other subjects. But we also see that it is comforting to know, to see that as poor, dumb sheep, we have a heavenly shepherd who is unflagging in faith and trust in him. It's a great, wonderful joy and blessing in this troubled world to realize that we have God as our shepherd. May he bless us. We thank you.